the debilitating power of fear. Who knows what fear is? Have you experienced it? Has it crippled you at any stage? A little bit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. Fear. Dictionary definition is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc., whether the threat is real or imagined. There's also a second definition, reverential awe, especially toward God. So you've got the good and the bad. The Greek word for fear is phobos, from which we get phobic and phobia. Now, I'd hazard a guess that all of us have experienced some pretty real fears at some stage. I saw an instance with one of my granddaughters, and she'll probably hate me if she ever finds out about this, but I won't name her. My car needed a push, and everyone gathered around to push it. But this particular one was absolutely terrified. Terrified to get near a car to push it. Now, I don't know what's happened in her life to cause that. But that's an irrational fear. And a lot of people have irrational fears. Some people won't step on a crack. That's an irrational fear. Some people won't walk under a ladder. That's an irrational fear. A lot of irrational fears come from superstition. But how do we stop it? We don't have a lot of control over the starting point of fear. It's part of the body's defense mechanism against impending danger or death. It's a fight or flight mechanism. And the physiology of it, neurotransmitters are involved, which means you act first and think later. There is little conscious cognitive process until after anxiety is underway. And fear-inducing stimuli lead to immediate neurotransmitter changes that then divert blood from organs to muscles. Tension builds, shallower, less effective breathing begins, carbon dioxide builds in the bloodstream, which in turn creates pain, numbness, and a sense of danger, and so the cycle continues. Job, chapter 3, verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. We all have little niggling things in the background that we just shut it off. We don't want to go there. Am I right? Little things that we just don't want to face because we're afraid. As a child, it might be afraid of the dark or the boogeyman. Now, it's completely irrational. But it's a mechanism in the body and the mind to escape from what the body senses as impending danger. Now, there are some circumstances, like you don't go and stand in front of an oncoming train unless you've got no fear at all. But that's just some of the some of the realities of fear in the natural sense. And it's part of life. But you know, the words "fear not" occur 62 times in the Word of God. And the verbal form, "fear not," is usually used in the passive imperative. In other words, do not allow yourself to become fearful, or do not allow yourself to be placed under fear. It's passive. You're the object. And it's imperative, so it's a command. Hello? So we are able, in the strength of the Lord, to overcome fear. Fear not. Look at Peter when he stepped out of the boat. Said, "Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you walking on the water." Sure, come. Allah. And Jesus reached out from a position of strength and grabbed him and lifted him up. Jesus didn't go into the water to pick him up. Jesus reached out from where he was in a position of strength and lifted Peter back up out of a fearful situation. And he will always do that when we call upon him. There are many circumstances in life in which we are fearful. Many people are fearful of death. But what is death? It's certainly nothing to be feared. It's only the point when we have our graduation from this life into eternity. Because the life that we spend here, the time we spend in this body, is just but a speck in eternity of our life. All of us, unless the Lord returns, will come to a point in time where God unzips the spirit and the body falls away and the soul goes to be with the Lord. That will happen to all of us. Now, if someone came in here and pointed a rifle at me, would I fear? Yes. There would be an immediate reaction from my body. Fear. But then, I've faced death. I have faced it. And I know that there was an immediate reaction of fear and then peace. Because I knew that whatever happened to me in this body, that was only just passing. I would graduate. I'd be with the Lord. Now we can either submit to that fear, or we can choose alternatives. Fear affects our activities in life. I've been conversing with a doctor in Canberra, and I'll just look up his title. He's a professor of medical oncology, the clinical director of Capital Region Cancer Services. And I was talking with him about this message today, and he said, "Hey, I've been working on a paper that might be interesting to you." It's a collaboration of he and some others on a paper dealing with fear of cancer recurrence in young women. And a very interesting reading once you get past all the medical jargon. About 70% of young women who have breast cancer suffer great fear for their future. And they seek alternative remedies. They seek all sorts of things to try and keep themselves absolutely healthy to prevent this reoccurring. The problem is, the fear has the effect that it releases enzymes that allow it to reoccur. It works against what they're trying to do. Now, Ivy said, perfect love casts out fear. And that is so true, Ivy. Perfect love casts out fear. See, if we're walking with God and we're walking in His love, in the knowledge of His love day by day and preparing for graduation day, then we need have no fear. If we're not walking in that, we need to have a lot of fear. Because fear replaces our vision of God with a mirror. We take our eyes off God and start to look at ourselves. Bang goes the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We start putting ourselves before our relationship with God. Fear replaces our vision of God with a mirror. Father God, we come before you, and one and all we surrender our fears, our insecurities to you. Father, Daddy, we ask you to help us that when we sense fear has started its course in our bodies and in our minds and in our subconscious, that we can reach out into your perfect love and put our eyes back on you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.